You may be seated. Our Bible passage for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 24. If you have the sermon, the sermon sheet, it says Matthew 28. That's a typo. There's not 36 or 44 verses in Matthew 28. It's Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. And here's what it says. And this is Jesus speaking, mind you. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And this is God's word for us this morning. So as has been mentioned multiple times already, this is the first Sunday in Advent. So in the Christian church calendar, traditionally, this is the beginning of the church year, the beginning of Advent. So I don't know about anybody, but here I'm going to confess, a little bit of confession time. When I was younger, and even maybe into my adulthood, I didn't completely understand what was Advent and why do we have this season called Advent. Is anyone going to be bold enough to admit that with me, or am I the only one that was confused by this season we call Advent? Well, when I was a kid, I always saw this as the time that I couldn't wait for it to be over so we could get to Christmas. Because, you know, being a pastor's kid, I, of course, went to Advent service every Wednesday. I mean, it was pretty much a given that we went. And so I just saw Advent as this time that was leading up to the day when we got to open presents. And another memory I have from my childhood about Advent is actually, I mean, it's a good one. My family would do Advent devotions around our dinner table. We would have an Advent wreath like Holly talked to you about. And the thing I remember most about those devotions was I had one brother, younger brother, and we would fight over who would get to light the candles. And so I, being the older brother and much wiser, would swindle him into letting him have the first 2 weeks, and then I got to do the rest of it, so that way I would get to light all the candles, and he only got to light a couple. But that's the way, that's a couple of the things I remember about Advent. So we have this Advent wreath, and our Advent wreath is over here. You can't see the wreath very well, but as Holly mentioned before, there's four candles, three purple, sometimes they're blue, and this is a tradition that started in the church in Eastern Germany in the 1500s. And so there's different meanings for the candles. And one of them is, the first one is hope, which I'm going to light today. And this is the Christ candle in the middle. So each Sunday, we will light another one. The second one is peace. This is the peace candle. The third one, which is pink, and that's the joy candle. And the fourth one is love. And that's the one we light right before the last Sunday. And then on Christmas Day, of course, the Christ candle, because that's when Jesus was born. So you got the hope, peace, joy, and love. And I'm not just naming my four daughters, although it sort of sounds like it, because two of them are names of my daughters. But peace head key just doesn't sound right, nor does love. But anyway, that's the Advent wreath, and I strongly encourage you to get a wreath. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to look great. It can just be an evergreen tied around, you know, in a circle. Get four candles. They can be three blue candles, three purple candles, and a pink candle. and gather around God's word together with your family. That whole home court advantage thing. And talk about God's word as you get ready for Christmas. So the first question I have up there is, what is Advent? And here's what Advent is. Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation. It's a season of getting ready and anticipating. So, I have a question. It's the next number on your sheets that I want you to ponder. Not only ponder today, not only ponder this week, but throughout this whole Advent season as we get closer and closer to Christmas. What are you getting ready for? What are you getting ready for? Is it getting ready to go to somebody's house maybe for Christmas if we can travel? Is it getting your house ready for Christmas? Is it possibly getting ready for a child going away to college? That one's in there, speaking directly to me. Is it getting ready or planning for where you might go on spring break? Is it getting ready for the next big game, whether it's your favorite sports team or whether it's your child's game? I may or may not be getting ready for the Packers-Bears game tonight, for example. Is it getting ready for another possible lockdown and stocking up on toilet paper? Or maybe you're getting ready for your child to be doing school online full time. It seems like we are always getting ready for something. And then when that something comes and goes, we're getting ready for the next thing. And it's just like a never-ending cycle of us getting ready for things. So all these things I just listed, I could go on and on with all kinds of questions of things that we get ready for. None of these things are bad. The problem is when these things that we're getting ready for jump up on our priority list and take over. They jump up to that number one spot on our priority list. That's when they become a problem. So what are you getting ready for? Advent is a season of getting ready for Jesus. So I wanted to kind of explain to you what this season is all about. And so the first thing is number four on your sheet. Advent, the first Advent, was when Jesus came and dwelt with his people. The first Advent has already happened. It's in the past. Jesus came. We all know the Christmas story. Was born of a virgin that first Christmas in Bethlehem in a manger. He came to dwell with his people. Think about that for a second. The Son of God becoming a human, putting on human flesh. Think of how humbling that is for God, to be one of us. But that's what he did. Because you see, like we talked about in the Mountain series, from the very beginning all the way back in the Garden of Eden, God has always wanted to dwell with us. He's always wanted to dwell with his people. And has always done things so that he could dwell with us. And now he sent Jesus. Another thing you should know about Advent is the word Advent comes from a Latin word, and it means coming. So keep that in mind. Advent is coming. And so the first coming is in the past. It already happened. And John, the gospel writer, the disciple, one of the closest disciples of Jesus, put it this way in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, of course, being Jesus, the Son of God. So that's the first Advent, implying there's a second one. But before that, we are currently, right now, November 29th, 2020, in between two Advents. So what do we do now? What are we exactly getting ready for? Is it to get ready for Christmas? Because as a society, we've gotten pretty good at getting ready for Christmas, wouldn't you say? I mean, Christmas music has been playing for well over a month, I would say. I refuse, by the way, to listen to any of it until after Thanksgiving, but that's just me. My family thinks I'm a bah humbug sometimes, but I've seen Christmas lights up since after the day after Halloween. People getting their Christmas lists put together, going out shopping. Of course, there was a big shopping day a couple days ago. Everybody's getting ready, anticipating Christmas. We've gotten really good at that. But what do we do now in this image? Is that all it is? Is just getting ready for Christmas Day? It certainly is that, yes. We are preparing and anticipating the celebration of Jesus' birth. Because had God not done that, he would not have come and died on the cross for us. But he did do that. So yes, that's what we do. We prepare for that. But that's not it. Jesus is not gone. Jesus ascended. You remember when we talked about this in the mountains at the Mount of Olives? Jesus ascended into heaven. And he told his disciples before he left, even though I'm not going to be here in human flesh with you, I will always be with you to the end of the age. Jesus is with us each and every day. He comes to us. Remember, Advent means coming. Jesus comes to us each and every day. We're experiencing an Advent every day we wake up in the morning. Jesus comes to us in his word. When we hear God's word read, when we read God's word, when we talk about God's word, when we receive communion, Jesus is coming to us. In baptism, he's coming to us. He comes to us each and every day. And not only that, Jesus promised his disciples and told his disciples on the night before he was arrested that he was going to send a helper, a counselor. We call him the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us each and every day, and every time we are in God's word or we hear God's word or we talk about God's word, when we commune, baptism, the Holy Spirit is working through all these things to strengthen our faith. Just because Jesus isn't here in the flesh does not mean he's not with us. We experience an Advent every single day. We are not alone. Jesus is always with us. And so number five on your sheet, the second Advent, is really what this season is all about. The second Advent will happen when Jesus comes again. And a lot of times people want to know, well, when will that be? People try to figure it out, crack the code of the Bible of when Jesus will come again. And I'm sure a lot of people have been praying and hoping that happened in year 2020. Because this is a year to forget. And I'm going to pull a Henry because he's going to be back soon. Can I get an amen on that? There you go. Just getting you warmed up for when he's back. But he will come again. And when will that be? I want to read to you one more time in case you missed it, what I read from Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. And remember, this is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says about when he will come back. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. So, what are we supposed to do in between these two Advents, in the present? The first Advent happened in the past. The second Advent's in the future. And we're in the present. What do we do now? Well, let's look at what Jesus says here. First of all, Jesus says that only the Father knows the day and hour that he's coming back. Not even him. So there's no sense in trying to crack the code. We don't know when it'll be. And then Jesus talks about Noah and the ark. Remember, that was another event that we talked about in the mountain series. God directed Noah to build this gigantic ark, which took a long time to build, by the way. And so all these people that were around Noah and his family building this ark didn't pay much attention to Noah. And remember, it took a long time. So these people that had been sinning and there had been so much evil in the world that God wanted to destroy it, because he was sickened by what had happened. None of these people really changed their ways. They just kept on living their lives from day to day. And the way Jesus puts it, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. They all had lots of chances to repent. But when that day came, when that dreaded flood came, it was too late. And then Jesus tells us, stay awake. That should sound familiar. Another mountain event we talked about, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane at the Mount of Olives. He told his disciples to stay awake, did they? No, they fell asleep. That charge is not only for them, that charge is for us. Stay awake. Prepare. Anticipate, get ready for Jesus coming again. How can we do that? It's really pretty simple. Focusing on God's Word, reading God's Word, being in God's Word, talking about God's Word, talking about it with our brothers and sisters, coming to church, going to church on Zoom, doing Bible study, doing the Home Court Advantage thing, which is something that is very important and practical now, especially when we spent a couple months of this year locked in our houses. Prepare for when Jesus comes again. This always reminds me of my favorite verse in the Bible, which is Hebrews 12, verse 2, where it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And I love that translation of the word fix. Fix our eyes on Jesus. To me, that's more intense than just looking. Like if I'm just looking at this Christmas tree, but when I'm fixing my eyes, I think of myself, it's more intense keeping my eyes fixed, like fixing it on that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because he is the one that came that very first Christmas. So that he could live a perfect life on our behalf. And then be the sacrifice. Because remember, the other theme throughout the Bible, the whole one narrative of events, to pay for sin, it has to be a life and it has to be blood. And our loving Savior did just that. He went up on that cross, died, shed his blood for us. And so, as we prepare, as we get ready for Christmas, which is in 4 weeks, let's also stay awake and get ready for Jesus coming again. Because he gave us, our Father gave us the best gift we could ever receive on any Christmas. And it was on that very first Christmas, and that gift was wrapped in a manger, his son for us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.